Ladies and gentlemen, here at St. Pius X, we may not have the history of the Parthenon in Rome or the Parthenon in Athens, but we do have a history, and it's quite interesting in its many ways. Standing here at site number one is a metal plaque that says Cooper's Flat Cemetery. Now, it's very interesting that Cooper's Flat Cemetery is named after a man named Cooper, who had an old hut and some cows in a swampy area about where Chatswood Chase complex now stands. The school is on the site of the old Cooper's Flat Cemetery. From the earliest days of the settlement on the North Shore, the bodies of those to be buried in a Catholic cemetery had to be carried by horse-drawn dray along the winding Lane Cove Road, now of course the Pacific Highway, to Milson's Point. There they were ferried across the harbour by a small boat and carried on a dray again through the streets of good old Sydney town to where Central Station now stands. That was the site of the Sand Hill Cemetery, the second cemetery in the colony. The first one, I might add, was actually underneath where the Sydney Town Hall now stands. However, in 1862, a Mr. William Lithgow, a member of Parliament, an owner of land in these parts and on the other side of the Blue Mountains, gave the Catholic people of the area 3 acres of land to build a cemetery and thus save that long journey. Cooper's Flat Cemetery ceased to be used about 1902, but when the Christian Brothers began the school with 6 classrooms and 147 boys in 1937, the tombstones were still very much in existence. Matter of fact, the students used to play hide and seek and chases around the tombstones. Now today, all traces of the cemetery are gone. In 1998, with further redevelopment of the school garden area, some tombstones were unearthed and these were presented to Willoughby Municipal Council Library. Matter of fact, in the early days that I was here, walking around what were the World War II demountable buildings I had in the centre of the school yard, you actually could see the tombstones laid down in the pathway, and the boys could work out definitely that they were tombstones. Now, coming up to our second site, just inside the school itself, away from the noise, just inside the entrance, you'll also notice a small plaque to the right. This acknowledges the original inhabitants of the land, the Cammeraygal people of the Eora Nation. This area had an ideal environment, mainly because it had excellent vegetation and easy access to water. Therefore, there would have been an abundance of game to hunt. This building is also known as the Brother P.J. White Building. Now, Brother White was the principal from 1973 to 1978. He commissioned the architect, Mr. Bruce Lawson, to plan the administration primary classrooms, which were occupied in 1977. He also had a vision to plan the future construction of the music and art buildings, completed in 1981.
The idea of community was that they were a living community here that we were in constant contact with, and so as a kid, the brothers' residence was as much a part of the school as the classrooms. But they had their own bedrooms, of course, and to call a brother, they used to have a bell, and each brother had his special code. So Brother Thornber might have had dot, dot, dash, and Brother White might have had dash, dash, dash. And so you would ring the bell and the brothers would answer or respond by coming down. And it was a simple little intercom sort of thing that we used to have, but the brothers are on call almost 24 hours a day and they respond to it.
Further inside the building, at station number 3, on the right-hand side of the entrance is also the honour board that has names of past principals, old boy priests, brothers and school captains going back to the earliest days of the college. You'll notice that the earliest records are from 1948, when a J. Briggs was the college captain and M. Randall was the college ducks. Now, further along into what is presently the entrance to the school, there is a beautiful crucifix that was donated to the college in remembrance of a student, Anthony Thomas Perry. The inscription reads, "In loving memory of Anthony Thomas Perry, accidentally killed 19th of June, 1957. Now, the circumstances of his death are tragic indeed, because Anthony was walking home with his best friend at the time, and anyway, his friend produced a pen or pocket knife, which he just wanted to show to Anthony, and Anthony was holding it, and as they were walking along, and Anthony was holding the blade of the knife, just feeling it, he tripped on a root of a tree, and as he fell, the knife pierced his heart. His friend at first thought he was just having a bit of a joke, lying on the ground, but very quickly realised the situation. The ambulance was called, but of course by that stage nothing could be done. He was only 16 years of age." Now coming to station number 5, turning to the left-hand side, you'll notice near the entrance a large display of photographs depicting images of the school throughout its entire history. Look at the photographs of the World War II demountables. These buildings were still in use in the late 1970s when much development began, and of course the old tombstones were in the pathway just around those buildings. This wall also marks the southern boundary of the original Brothers' residence that was built in 1936. At station number 6, this display reminds us of the ex-students who have served for our country in times of conflict. The inscription states, "Remembering ex-students from St. Pius X College who served overseas in the armed forces, World War II, Korea, Malaya, Borneo, Vietnam and peacekeeping." This honour board was donated by the Gillespie family in the memory of their brother, Flight Sergeant Anthony Gillespie, killed in action in World War II over Germany, 5th of March 1945, and to fellow ex-student Private Jacob DeSisto, killed in action, Bougainville, 18th of December 1944. Also nearby, just through to the outside, you'll notice some information on the mosaic of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. This beautiful piece of art was made near the Vatican in Rome, and it used to be located at Vaughan College, which was the Brothers Macquarie University residence for many years. Now, down at station number 7, out in the playground area, we have a memorial to Jacob DeSisto. The flagpole was donated to the college by Jacob's sister, Margaret Raphaelia Maria and Anna in the year 2000. Just growing near it, you'll also notice there is a pine tree. Now, because of our proud history of ex-students who served their country in the military, the college received the honour from the Commonwealth Government of being one of the small number of schools to be able to grow a seedling of the lone pine. This pine is from a small number of seedlings that is grown by the Commonwealth Government in conjunction with the Australian War Memorial. The lone pine is part of the memorial dedicated to all ex-students of the college who have served in the armed forces. And I must admit, when it was very small, as a teacher on duty, I was worried when a boy went rushing in to get his tennis ball. I was always worried that he'd crash into the lone pine and break it one day, but it's managed to survive. This memorial was also officially blessed by the Bishop of Broken Bay, the Most Reverend David Walker, on Tuesday, the 10th of April 2001, in the presence of the college community and guests, including the veteran ex-students and their families. The college was granted special permission from the Department of Veterans Affairs to use the coat of arms of the Army, Navy and Air Force on the plaque. Station 9, underneath the statue of St. Pius X, but there used to be a small plaque hidden by the shrubbery that states, "Cooper's Flat Cemetery, sacred to the memory of those buried here." The names of those buried are recorded in a book of remembrance in the Brothers' Chapel. In 1985, the Brothers partially righted a wrong by dedicating their chapel as the Cooper's Flat Memorial Chapel. Of interest, the gravestones, some of them unfortunately vandalised, have been removed and are given have been given to the Willoughby Municipal Library. But of course, the bodies of those people still remain here buried. At number 10, here underneath the cement of the playground, from pretty well where the Brothers parked their bus, is Cooper's Flat Cemetery. It stands right pretty well from the administration building through to the science block. Matter of fact, when they were building the science block many years ago, they actually did come across some of the body remains, and they had to be very careful where they were digging. Also, at this point, you will notice there is a passageway that extends through to Kirk Street. Now, if you walk through this passageway until you reach the end, proceed along the veranda outside the Year 7 classrooms, you will see near the end, on your right, the actual foundation stone of the original 1937 building. It states, blessed and officially opened January 17th, 1937, by the Most Reverend M. Kelly, Archbishop of Sydney. Now, when the school opened in February of 1937, there were 147 boys on the roll. These numbers soon increased. Today, there are over 1,000 students enrolled. This wing to the left, when facing Kirk Street, C Wing, is named after Brother B.J. Carter, who spent 8 years at the college from 1937 to 1944 and returned as principal from 1945 to 1953. It was during his time as principal that the college acquired the original sporting fields at Lane Cove, the name given to these grounds by most that experienced them during the winter was Siberia. Basically due to the freezing cold wind that came from the Lane Cove Valley. And I must admit, standing on the side of the field, you really did feel it go right through to the bones. At station number 12, the podium, there are two features to observe. One is a small plaque that commemorates the 50th anniversary of the college back in 1987. This plaque was unveiled by Brother Kevin Crow on the 23rd of August. Brother Crow was one of the pioneering brothers of that small community. The other less obvious feature is a slight difference in the colouring of the brickwork of B Wing. The slightly lighter side is a later addition from 1957. The whole of this wing is named after Brother Baptist Quirk from 1898 to 1969, so he lived a good age. He was the founding principal of the college. The six classrooms that are before you now are the original classrooms of Christian Brothers High School Chatswood, the original name of the college. The students back then, as I said earlier, used to play games of hide and seek around all the tombstones, which would have been pretty well where we're standing. Also, in World War II, the students would practice air raid drills just in case of Japanese attack. And this was a very real worry at the time, especially after the Japanese midget submarine attack on Sydney Harbour and the shelling of the eastern suburbs of Sydney by the mothership in 1942. Matter of fact, the students took part in digging air raid shelters, long slits in the ground, and of course when it rained they would fill up with water.
Brother Jeffers was an amazing man who had a lot of talents, and they included languages, and we had a good connection because he'd like to come and talk to me about his work in the Chinese community and working with migrants. And one of the things that Brother Jeffers, who'd always come past and visit the office, especially later in age, He'd toddle on in, and each time he came, he'd have a special gift for me. And it'd be something that he's collected along his many travels, especially from China.
At number 14, which is the elevator, you'll see was built due to the efforts of the students to raise money to help physically handicapped students. A walkathon in 1995 raised $50,000 for the project, and the elevator was commissioned in late December of that year. Boy who had a degenerative disease, he came to the school in a wheelchair. Unfortunately, they knew that his life wasn't going to be long, but just offhand, I just can't remember his name. But there were also a couple of other students who were wheelchair bound, and that's basically why we had this big walkathon, which I think was the last walkathon we ever had. The clock on the outside of the elevator was named the Edmund Rice Clock in honour of the founder of the Christian Brothers. Also, if you walk up the stairs just behind the elevator to the next floor, turn left, you'll be next to the Brother Leary Learning Centre. Brother Leary was principal from 1995 to 2003. He was a much loved and respected principal of the college, and we were saddened by the news of his passing in 2011. He was the first to be made an honorary old boy when he left the college in 2003. His learning centre, or this learning centre, was named in his honour in 2003. At station 15, this is the Brother G.D. Kerr building, named after the college principal from 1957 to 1960, and again from 1964 to 1968. He was responsible for the construction of additions to the original building at the western end of Kirk Street in 1965, additions to the Brothers' residence in 1966, and he was the one who planned the construction of the Science Library wing, which opened in 1970. Now, on the other side of the playground, in the junior school area, at station number 16, there's the Frank Supple building. It was dedicated to a parent whose association with the college and fundraising efforts spanned about 40 years. He was in his 80s when he finally concluded his work for the college, and the college mourned his passing of a very generous man back in 1988. Now, on the wall of that area, at station 17, on the patio outside the art rooms, is a small plaque in the memory of Brother C.J. MacDonald, known simply as Brother Mac. He served continuously on the staff from 1969 to 1992, the year of his formal retirement. He pioneered the development of the study and practice of the visual arts at St. Pius X. And I might add, he didn't mind having the odd smoke of the senior students.
When I first started at Pius, I met Brother Colin MacDonald, better known to everyone else as Brother Mac. He lived on campus in the Brothers' residence, and he'd come down to the art department on a regular basis to paint and draw. Often he'd come down after hours, and you'd usually know that he'd been there if there were cigarette butts left in the sink or if there were pallets of paint left around the room. He loved art, and he was really passionate about passing on his knowledge to students, and quite often he's popped down into our classes, sometimes to see what the kids are up to or to help them with their artworks. Sadly, he passed away in 2005, but it's really good to see his memory living on in the school through his artwork. In the staff room, there's a really big Brother Mac painting of the school back in the 70s or the 80s of the junior school playground. But there's also many of his artworks in the admin block just outside John's office. So it's worth having a look at those. Brother Mac was a great character in the history of St. Pius.
Back in 1998, we had that redevelopment, and they got rid of that circular staircase, which I might add, there was a time capsule placed, just buried, in concrete at its base.
Oh, wow.
Now, with the redevelopment, I think all traces of that time capsule were removed. Wherever, of course, the time capsule was removed itself in 1983-84. And inside it, there's a newspaper of the period, the North Shore Times, photographs, some of the students' work. And I think they actually had some old audio tapes, which I don't think would be too good trying to use now, but audio tapes of the boys giving messages at the time. Over in our garden area, over near the junior school playground, that is the last remnant, what used to be a lawned or turfed area, where the music room and art rooms are. There used to be a tennis court there, where we used to, well, at one stage we had a competition.
I feel that Pius has changed a lot since I came in 1997. I suppose if you walk in by the front entrance, it's so much more elaborate now than it used to be. I think we're a lot more corporate now in the way we look. The standards have risen in that sort of respect. Even things like the main staircase that the boys and staff go up and down, that was completely remodeled probably in the late 90s. Yeah, Pius has changed a lot. I think we've upped the profile of the place, I suppose, in terms of positioning as a school. We're now positioned, we've always been an independent school, but I think you can see that our fees have gone up from 4,000 to about 8,000, and I think this we occupy a very competitive space. And I think to occupy that space, you need to offer in terms of marketing. The place needs to look good, and I think that's what we've done. Our classrooms look good. I think even the facilities at Oxford Falls, with our Kevin Rudd money during the GFC, we spent well. We've got a fantastic facility there now. Yeah, so look, things have changed a lot in my time at St Pius, and I've just spoken there mainly about buildings and things like that, but that's all part of it.